as we dig into God's word, let's pray. Father, just seal the truths of your word on our hearts. Let us know something more of your mercy, of your salvation. Jesus' name, amen. If you've been looking around the news, in politics, a former Western Australian MP has been placed in prison for lying about military service, wearing fake medals. In the UK, the ruling party, the Conservatives, have been forced to back down after voting against the corruption officer's findings. They're trying to let one of their own MPs not face punishment for taking money to lobby for companies and to rewrite the rules instead. Not only has the MP been forced to resign, but several of their MPs have voters up in arms and the government seen as corrupt. But it's not just in politics where we're seeing people's wrongdoing catch up with them. An ex-English cricket captain's excluded from the commentary box over alleged racist comments. The Australian cricket captain has resigned over sending lewd text messages in 2017. There have been several NRL players sacked this year for breaches of contract. And one of the best Collingwood players, Jordan Dugowie, has been suspended by his club. He faces court in the US shortly, but the club says it's not just the one incident, but the catalogue that have his playing future in jeopardy. He has a record from lying about how he got a broken hand to issues in nightclubs in Australia. And it's catching up with him. The club will make a judgment when he comes back to Australia. But this is nothing like facing God's judgment. Last week we saw that after Adam and Eve eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden, things just got worse and worse. From Cain murdering his brother out of jealousy, to Lamech treating killing people as something to boast about, and mankind being shut out of God's presence. Well, this week, we see the consequences of man's wickedness, man forgetting about God. The passage starts with mankind starting to fulfill God's command to be fruitful and increase in number. There are more of mankind, but there are also corrupt, sinful, going their own way and not living in relationship with God. And in addition, there's this strange reference to the sons of God marrying the daughters of men. If the sons of God are other humans, it makes little sense as God created marriage. He created us male and female for this purpose. So most likely the sons of God is used for celestial beings, for angels taking human form and marrying. We also find that the Nephilim, who are strong men or giants, were on the earth. Heroes of old were the sons of such union. It's a difficult passage and we don't have all the answers. However, what is clear is that God is not happy with mankind's behaviour. Verse 3 states, "Then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years. God reduced the age that we can live to, so we can only live to 120 years. And this still is the case with all the improvements in technology. One person called Janine Kalmentz, independently recognized as living for 122 years. Everyone else is under 120 years. The oldest man is 116. And when we think about it, this has consequences. Old age that some of us have to contend with. The deterioration of bodies is a consequence of the fall, of human sin. It wasn't meant to be like this. However, there are greater and worse consequences to come. From the end of verse 4, it reads, "They were the heroes of old, men of renown. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that it made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air, for I'm grieved that I've made them." God sees the evil on the earth. He sees all the corruption, all that is wrong, and decides to wipe out those who he created, destroy those who he has created for relationship with him. His heart filled with pain shows it's not what he wanted to happen, but he will bring judgment. However, at first sight, it may seem surprising that the passage switches from the heroes of old, the men who have made their own name, to addressing man's sin, all that man does wrong. Yet, taking what one wants, seeking to be a hero, rather than live in relationship with God, is not what mankind were created for. Focus on oneself and what I can achieve, what you can achieve, rather than seeking to walk with God and represent him, leads to us going our own way, rather than living in relationship with God. And so both in the worship of heroes, but also seeking to be heroes and take what they want, rather than in following God, living in relationship with him, is the root of where evil comes from. It leads to violence, lack of concern for others, and for that, there's judgment. Because the judgment that God brings here looks forward to the greater judgment when Jesus returns. When all who are more interested in themselves, in what they can get, in what benefits them, than relating to God and receiving his mercy and being a part of his kingdom, they're two things that are opposites. Either the focus is me, I, or it's in the God who created us, who provides us with mercy. And those who are more interested in the first than the second will be left outside of God's kingdom, God's provision, to fend for themselves in darkness and fire. There will be judgment. However, the judgment does not apply to all. Verse 8, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Well, God says he will wipe out mankind in general. We also see someone who seeks him, who seeks to represent God, which is what we were made to do. Someone who others saw as righteous because of his relationship with God, because of him representing God. And that's why God grants him favor. But what's God going to do when he brings destruction? knows righteousness, found because he trusted God and tried to walk in God's ways, did not take away from the evilness of mankind as they tried to make names for themselves. Verse 11 we read, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. So God sees the violence and corruption that sin causes. He determines to flood the earth, to rid the earth of mankind, of what he's created. But Noah finds favor, so he tells Noah, so Noah can build an ark. Now, the Bible's not the only story of a great flood. There are stories in Indian and Chinese culture of a great flood that people could not control. In Chinese culture, it led to those who escaped, fleeing to the mountains. The Indian story also contains a man being told by gods to build a giant ark. The same is true in the Babylonian script Gilgamesh, where the stories believed to be copied from Mesopotamia, where there are earlier tablets containing the flood myth. This script's closest to the biblical story, but has slightly differences that actually make it less believable. Among them is the shipbuilding. Apparently in Gilgamesh, the ark that's built is built as a cube. Which, I'm not a sailor, but even I know that that would hardly be a good design to withstand the flood. In contrast, in the Bible, God gives Noah precise instructions of the boat to build, and it's a very large boat, about a sixth of the size of the Titanic, on fairly similar proportions. And God told Noah to build this on the basis that there would be a flood. Now, if one of us started doing that today, you can imagine people laughing at us. Clive Palmer promised a new Titanic in 2012 that it'd be ready by 2016. Well, he apparently keeps on at it, seemingly with little success, but more broken promises. We can laugh at him. But people would be saying to Noah, what flood? And he'd have to trust that what God told him was right. But Noah walked with God, and therefore lived out his faith, building the ark to God's instructions, three different levels, before taking the animals in. Again, God did not simply seek to provide for Noah and his family, but also make sure that animals survived the flood, particularly those that mankind could eat, the clean animals. Each of them, there were seven pairs of, but only two pairs of the unclean. And Noah had been told to put aside food for all of them. Now, with all the issues and drought, many farmers have had to buy and feed in previous years for cattle and or sheep, and it's expensive. But imagine having to stock the ark for all the animals in it for a year. But Noah did this out of faith, and then entered the ark with the animals when the Lord commanded them. And then the flood came. And all he knew that was outside the ark perished. But God remembered Noah, and the flood waters receded. Noah was saved from certain death because he found favor with God, because he walked with God. and his wife, three sons, their wives were saved with him. But the flood, as terrifying as it was, as terrifying as it happened, is nothing compared to the final judgments when our eternal destiny is decided. When God wants us in his kingdom, relating to him as his friends, his family, having walked in faith with him, and responded in gratitude to the mercy he gives us in Jesus. Because that's how Noah responded to God's salvation through the ark. 8 verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." So Noah responds in gratitude. He sacrifices some of the clean animals that he's been able to rescue through the ark. In faith that God will provide more, he gives from what he has, using what God has given him for God, even though there are not many that have survived. And God responds to it by blessing Noah and promising not to destroy the earth again. In fact, rainbows signify that promise. There will never be a flood like that to destroy the earth. Instead, God gives Noah and his sons a repeat of the original commission he gave Adam and Eve. 9 verse 1. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth." And verse 7. "As for you, be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it." Taken on their own, you might think that these blessings imply that God thinks sin's dealt with, that everything will be all right from now on, that the righteous people have survived, Noah and his children. Everything will be fine, except we've already read that even after the flood, God said, every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. But we tend to want to go our own way. And God emphasizes this in the verses between the repeated commission. God says there's a change in our relationship with the animals. They'll treat us with fear and be given into our hands for food. And more obviously still, says anyone committing murder will face vengeance and also have their own blood shed, an indication that humans are corrupt and will need to face judgment for their actions. Later on, even Noah, the one who's saved for his righteousness, gets drunk, and his youngest son calls attention to his nakedness, his indiscretion, leading to his line being cursed. There's corruption, there's sin. And while God has provided salvation for Noah from the flood, there needs to be a greater salvation for mankind from their sin. And God's promised that it's not by destroying the whole race. Now, we know the answer to this. The salvation that the flood's looking forward to is Jesus, in his mercy, dying for our sins in our place to take God's wrath, to restore our relationship with God, and enable us to enjoy new life with him. So that God's Spirit, rather than contending with us as we read at the start of Genesis, is given to us to enable us to follow him, to cleanse us from unrighteousness, so that we can grow in the character of God, to represent him better, and can enter his kingdom as his family. I'm from a non-Christian background, and one of the surprises for me when I became a Christian, when I committed my life to God, was enjoying a relationship with God and was his Spirit enabling me to take joy in serving him despite myself. My relationship with God's grown, but it's the Spirit in me that has enabled that, that has enabled me to grasp Jesus' mercy more and more over the years and live better in relationship with him. If you don't know that relationship, it's really worth it. Talk to me about it, but whatever you do, find it. If you do know that relationship, seek to live out of it more and more. Live out of gratitude for what Jesus has done for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the mercy that he provides so we can have restored relationship with you. And we ask that you will fill us with your Spirit. That you will fill us more and more so we can live out of that relationship in gratitude for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.